Praise the Lord. So today, we're just going to dive right into this series, From Dreams to Destiny. And the first part is the fun part. It's pride. That's what we're going to talk about today. And I read this chapter about a month ago, and guess what I've been dealing with on and on? You know, on and off. Pride, right? So I'm just going to ask the Lord's help right now. Father, we need your help. Holy Spirit, we need your help with this. Pride is such an issue in all of us. And Father, I pray that, Lord, that we'd be quick to be humble, Lord. I pray that this wouldn't be, I know we all have to deal with this test, Lord. I pray that we'd pass the first time. And Father, I pray we wouldn't have to go around the mountain over and over and over and over. So Father, we need your help. I pray that this wouldn't be a long, drawn out, hard battle, Lord, but that your Spirit would empower us to pass the test in Jesus' name. Awesome. So we're recording the tape, David? Great. All right. So today, it's pride. That's what we're talking about. I love what Keith Moore says. I don't know if you ever listened to him. He says, some people say, we're poor, but we're proud. But God can deliver us from both of those sorry conditions. Praise the Lord. So you know what? We need deliverance from poverty and pride. You know what I'm saying? So this is something, the next thing I'm going to say is something that God's put on my heart, and that is God is more concerned about our character than he is about our success. And that is a humbling thing. God wants us to be primed and ready and positioned. So that's so important. So today, as we begin this series on the tests, I encourage you guys to get the book. We're going to get some soon. It's important for us to read along, and that's what we're going to be doing with all of our Acts groups. And, the teenagers need to be in this too. And these 10 tests that all Christians have to go through is crucial to reaching our destiny. And you know what? It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. God wants us to pass the tests. Because God, here's the thing. There are certain things only you can accomplish in your life. Dwayne, there's dreams in your heart that only you can do. There's artistic works only you can do. And if you don't do them, they won't be done. You know? I mean, rarely will somebody come along and finish what somebody else starts creatively. You know what I'm saying? So Don, you got to do what's in your heart to do. You know, talking to all the creatives in here. And you know what? Everyone else too, who doesn't consider themselves a creative yet. You know what? Ask God, hey, is there a gift in me? Is there a latent gift that you want to bring out in the creative arts? Because God's moving us that way, in that direction. So, first off, I want to talk about the difference between temptation versus testing. This is really important to clarify, just so we're all on the same page. God tests us, but he does not tempt us. There is a difference, okay? Testing produces character. Temptation produces sin, which ends up in death. There's a difference. Okay, testing and temptation are really completely the opposite. Your conscience will side with the testing. The fleshful lust will side with the tempting. You know you should study for a test. You know, you kids, teenagers, you know you should be studying. Okay, what do you want to do? You want to watch TV. You know, preparing for the sermon, what do I want to do? I wanted to play video games or something, right? But it's like, you know what you should do. Your conscience sides with the testing. Your flesh sides with the lust. And someday the Lord is going to renew our body and we won't have to struggle with that. Praise God. So, you know you shouldn't eat that extra cookie. You know you should give that extra change back to that cashier because it doesn't belong to you. That's a test. But your flesh says, this might be nice. Do you really need $2 extra? No. Like, give it back. It's a test. And we're going to continue in that. You know, Joseph, if you can't be trusted with little money, you can't be trusted with big money. If you don't tithe now, you're not going to tithe when you have $1 million. You're just not going to. You know, money just amplifies who you are. It's just going to amplify who you are. If you're a good person now, you're going to be a better person. If you're a bad person now, you're just going to be amplified. You're going to, you know. The word says that the little that a righteous man has is better than the wealth of many wicked. So you might say, hey, I'm humble now. Well, your wealth is better than many Hollywood stars who aren't serving Jesus. Praise the Lord. Isn't that awesome? That's good. Praise you, Jesus. So let's read James 1:13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Galatians 5:17. It says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So God can't tempt you. He doesn't tempt you. Don't say God's tempting me with sin. Don't say that, because God doesn't. He doesn't have anything bad to give you. So there's a difference between testing and tempting. Now, testing, God tests us for a reason. There's a reason why he tests us. You know, the Bible talks about the God, he disciplines his children. He disciplines his sons. You know, if you don't discipline your children, you don't love them. Lord bless our emergency workers. If you don't discipline your children, do you really love them? Right? If you don't say, hey, don't do this because I know what this is going to produce. You know, if you say, hey, don't hang around with those friends because they are choosing a wrong lifestyle. If you don't do that, do you really love your children? You know, the Bible even says if you don't discipline your children, if you don't spank your children, you hate them. If you don't discipline them with a rod, it's not child abuse because the Bible says how to do it properly. Okay? So there's always a purpose in testing. And I'm starting to realize this more and more. Life is a test. You know, testing does not stop with grade school. Testing does not stop with high school. Testing does not stop with trade school or college. Testing does not stop with your first job, second job, third job, or relationships, or church, or attitude. It never stops. Testing never stops. And say, teenagers, listen to me. This is such an important test. When I finished college, well, actually, let's back up a bit. I was like, hey, I finished college algebra. No more math ever. So guess what God had me do? He had me do business or calculus applied to business. Okay. I didn't even know I'd have to do that. I had to do econometrics. I had to do statistics. Okay. So I was like, I'm done, right? Yay. Cool. Super. And maybe you won't have to, I don't know. But when I got done with college, you have this idea. Oh, great. No more tests. I'm great. I'm not going to have a test ever again, you know? And so that's terrible. You know, you don't think that way. That's really bad. Because if you lose a desire to be tested, then you're not going to grow. And I think it's really easy for us as humans to just fall into that, hey, my test is over. You know, last night, the test for Intercourt Creative and for Patty, who was taking the spearhead on this event, it is over. It's done. But guess what? We're not going to sit back and lose momentum. We're going to take a breather. You know, it's good to take a breather because we've been so busy the past 2 months. But we got a little bit of a breather. But you know what? We got another test coming. And you know what? If you take a posture of not needing tests, not wanting tests, hey, I'm done with tests, then you know what? You're going to fail. You're going to be tested and you're going to fail. You're going to lose that momentum. So we gotta be prepared to be tested. We got to prepare to be tested because life's a test. So let's have an attitude of preparation as opposed to just getting blindsided because we don't think we need to be tested. Okay? So we're in a test and that's just the way it is. Okay? Yeah, we have to just get used to it, okay, and be champions through it. Okay, so the next thing we're going to talk about is Job 7:17-18. Who is man that you should exalt him, that you should set your heart on him, that you should visit him every morning and test him every moment? So God tests us every moment. And this is encouraging. God visits you every morning. So you say, where is God? He's visiting you this morning. So you could get up and say, good morning, Jesus. Help me pass this test today because there's going to be a test. I need your help because I'm going to fail if you don't help me. Job 22:10, but he knows the way that I take. When he tested me, I shall come forth as gold. God wants us to come forth as gold. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter how many times you've failed. It doesn't matter how many times you've failed the test. If you're in Christ Jesus and if you have a humble heart, and if you yield yourself, then God will change you. The Brother Morrison here, he says that God, he never flunks us. And I kind of disagree, actually, because it's fearful. You can get to a point where you have such a hard heart that God will just give you up to the destroyer to save your soul. I think that's what Paul says. So you know what? That's scary. So if you don't have a humble heart, if your heart is hard, at some point, God's just going to say, you know what? Good luck. That's what he did with Pharaoh. God actually used him to judge Egyptians because he was so hard. His heart was so hard. I wonder what would happen if he had a soft heart, if he didn't get to that point. It's not our story to judge the Pharaoh. We don't know what was in his heart, but that's scary. Like, let's get humble. Every time you have an opportunity, you know, to come up and get prayed for, to be humble before the Lord, we have to be that way. We have to have a tender heart because we can't fall. We can't fail. Okay, so God wants us to come forth as gold. So let's get to from dreams to destiny. So for the next 10 weeks, we're going to see how Joseph had to go through 10 tests, okay? We will encounter these same 10 tests on the way from our dreams to our destinies. And like Joseph, we will have to pass the test in order to see the dreams fulfilled. So I'll just list them real quick. The pride test, the pit test, the palace test, the purity test, the prison test, the prophetic test, the power test, the prosperity test, the pardon test, the purpose test. God is gracious, but I don't want to be disqualified. And I think it's so important that we run our race as to win. Because we can disqualify ourselves. And I don't think Morris talks about that. We can disqualify ourselves from certain things. So let's not do that. Okay? So let's read Psalm 105, 17 through 22. And this is actually describing Joseph, and it's really good. So let's read that. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his elders wisdom. So the verse I want to pull out there is, until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. So God gave Joseph a dream. He gave him a vision, but that had to be tested. So Joseph, he prophesied it out. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But the word of the Lord tested him. And so in order for us to pass the test and to accomplish our dreams, we have to see the course through. We have to stick it out. Our challenges, our problems, we have to stick it out. Because if you quit, you can quit. I think it was Danny or someone I was talking about, you know, working a job, and you got to push through it all the way. And then the promotion comes. Then the breakthrough comes once you push through. But if you just quit, you have to discern. Some jobs you need to quit. But you have to discern. And if you just quit and fail and stop short, then you'll never know the promotion that God will give you. You'll never pass the test. And then you got to do it all over again. And that's what people get stuck in, over and over, round and round we go, merry-go-round, you know? You got to take the pride test. Got to take the pride test. Well, let's pass the big one and then deal with it the rest of our lives, because you're going to have to deal with pride. Okay, chapter 1, the pride test. So some of the things I'm going to actually quote from Morris. So let's begin. If you are a Christian, deep down you know that you are prideful, but sometimes we don't know what to do about it. We need to ask God for help. God, I know I have pride. I know my insecurity makes me vulnerable to it. I need to be free from this, but I don't know what to do. Sometimes we don't know what to do. It's like this lurking thing, and you're just like, man, how do we get, you know, more humble? We have to get to the place where we have our identity in Christ and not in what we do or who we are. That's really one of the main issues of pride. So let's talk about seasons of testing. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So in other words, he won't allow us to get into a situation that we don't have the strength to handle. That's why he allows us to go through the tests on the way from the dream to destiny, tests that prepare us to succeed when we get there. You know, many of us, if God were to just promote us like Joseph, man, we would not be able to handle it. You know, so it's my prayer that God would make us ready. So the pride test, revealing the pride within. Joseph's first test was a very important one. Every one of us will have to pass this test before we can move from our dreams to our destinies. Because we're not administering the test, it seems plain to me that we can't determine when and how we can pass. Robert Morris, he said in this book, you'll have to read the story, but he had a challenge, a test, and he's like, I think I'm ready now. I think I'm good. Like, I've been humble enough, so I'm going to go and I'm good. I just, you know, you can't decide when you're done, which is kind of scary. So all you can do is just get on your knees and say, Lord, here I am. I want to be done, but help me pass. Because you can't, you're not the administer of the test. So we got to pray that we pass the first time, because there's so much to accomplish. We don't have time to go around Sinai another time. All right, so let's turn to Genesis 37. And this is the key story. The story of Joseph has always, it's been encouraging to me. If you go through tough times and your heart is right and, you know, you want to serve the Lord, then Joseph is a very good story to encourage you. Genesis 37, and let's start at verse 2. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was the son of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I had dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaves arose and also stood upright. And indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. So Joseph was pretty excited about this dream. And he was quick. He's like, hey, this is the dream I had, you know? It's great. And so he went out and just started blabbing it, you know? Regardless of the consequences, he just had to let everyone know about it. Joseph was enthusiastically sharing his dream with his brothers. And this is a key here. The Lord is working with me on this, and I've failed. But you get a great idea, and what do? You speak it out. Or you get a great revelation from the Word, or you get a dream even, and you're just like, hey, guess what, blah, 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 blah. Well, there's no power there. You know, Mary, she meditated on the things in her heart. She kept them in her heart. And that's the thing is, you have to keep it in your heart for an appointed time to share it. There's some things that if you speak it, people aren't ready to hear it. You know, it's when you throw it, what Jesus talked about, throwing your pearls before swine. It's not that the people are swine. It's that they don't care. I mean, how many of you ever noticed that when you're talking to somebody, they don't care what you're saying. They don't care. And so why should you share something valuable and precious to you with people who don't care? And you're just throwing pearls in before swine, and they're going to trample all over them. So you got to discern what is the right moment. What is that setting where I'm with one of my best friends and I'm sharing a precious dream? And it's a discernment, knowing when God's going to start something. Or for ministers of the gospel, it's when, you know, Jesus said, I can't share with you this now because you're not ready. You know, maybe they were hungry and they wanted to eat food. Who knows? Maybe they were so concerned about, you know, the latest Broncos game that they didn't care about spiritual things. You know, whatever it was, we have to guard our dreams. And man, I get ideas all the time and I go blab them. And first off, I don't know if they'll ever come to pass. And so you got to guard it and just see, because I was talking to my brother Josh, and I guess in the Marine Corps, they have a great term. They call it the good idea fairy. How many of you guys ever met the good idea fairy? I know the good idea fairy, you know? And so it's like, wait a minute. Is that a good idea or a good idea fairy? Or is that a God idea or is that a good idea fairy idea? It's like, hey, you know what? If you're in a brainstorming party and the inner court creative, we got to innovate. And when we're doing a brainstorm, we don't want anybody shooting anybody down, because every idea is a good idea when we're having a brainstorming session. When we're serious and we're working, you know what? Take your good idea, Fairy, and go, you know, put them in a closet for a while. Right? We don't need a good idea, Fairy. But we need innovation, and we need, you know, we don't want to squelch good ideas. So that we got to guard that and say, Lord, what really is a good idea? What should I pursue? I'm limited. I'm finite in time and money and everything. I'm just finite. I can't run around and waste my efforts on some random good idea. So that we have to have the mind of Christ to do that. Okay? Joseph was so excited about his dream. He just went out and told him. Genesis 37:4 says, Joseph's brothers hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. So why would he go talk to them, right? He's just asking for it. Joseph was 17 when he received his dreams from God, but it wasn't until he was 30 that he began to fulfill it. He began to see it. So that was 13 long years. They went by before the first steps of his destiny came to pass. Why did it take so long? So Joseph's father was wise. He didn't. He rebuked him, but he thought about it. It says he kept the matter in mind, Genesis 37:11. So it seemed that the power and influence were in Joseph's future, but a test was just around the corner. And so in the book, Robert Morris, the reason for that test was really quite simple. Joseph had pride in his heart. And so Genesis 37:2, it says, before Joseph had the dream, he brought a bad report to them, his brothers, to his father. And so that's an indication that Joseph somehow thought that he had the qualification. He had the right. He could come and judge his brothers. They were older than him. They were senior to him. And he had the pride in his heart to think, hey, I can go judge them and go tell to, you know, Lord, be with our emergency workers today. Help them, Lord. Send your angels. Thank you, Lord. Help, Lord. Mercy, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So anytime we pass judgment on the behavior of others, it reveals a prideful attitude on our part. And it seems that Joseph had a prideful attitude. That is so common. I don't know about you guys, but I do that all the time. You're just like, well, this guy's, you know, whatever. Like, why is he doing that? He's just being dumb, you know? And you're just like, wait a minute. How do you know I'm in the wrong, you know? Sure, that person might be rubbing me wrong, but you know what? Maybe they're not doing it in pride, and I got pride because I'm judging them. So that's a challenge. Okay. God gave Joseph the dream even while Joseph still had pride in his heart. That's encouraging. It is encouraging to know that God is willing to work with imperfect people. He's going to give us big dreams, even when we have a pride in our heart. And there's a reason, because God wants us to deal with it. God gave Joseph many years, more than a decade, to deal with that pride. He gave him opportunity because he had something to do. God doesn't have time to waste. You know, we don't have 60 years to disciple you guys. We don't. We got to do stuff now. We got to do stuff for real. That's what we're doing with these events is, you know what? We're getting better every time. There's kinks. There's problems. You know, people are kind of like, change is always difficult. But guess what? We don't have time to practice. We got to do it for real. We got to do it for real. Of course, we're going to practice. Of course, we're going to do that. But we got to do stuff for real because it counts. You know, I've had this mentality. Oh, yeah, someday we'll do it for real. Someday. This is today. You got to do it now. You know, if you got a dream in your heart, do it now. Praise the Lord. All right. So, Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So Jesus, he's going to work it. He's going to work it. Some of us, I hope, it's not going to take us longer than others. You know, but God, he's going to complete us. Even if it takes all of our lives and eternity, which it will. But God, Jesus is going to complete his work in us. One way or another. And that's encouraging. So on some level, I think it does depend on how fast we want to grow. Gloria Copeland said, you can grow as quickly spiritually as you want. You got to get in the Word. You got to grow. You got to be aggressive. You can grow as fast as you want. So let's be the people who quickly grow. Let's grow up quickly in the Lord. So let's deal with pride. Pride is the first and often the most frequent test we face. And the reason for this is because pride is really the ultimate original sin. It is the sin that caused Lucifer to fall. Pride and falling are closely linked. Okay? So Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And there's another verse that says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So if you're prideful, God himself is resisting you. I don't know about you, but I don't have time for God, the creator of the heavens and earth, to resist me. I don't have time for that. And I don't want it. I mean, man, if he's resisting you, what can you do? Nothing. You can't get anything done. So check your hearts today and say, Lord, are you resisting me because I'm prideful? Maybe that's my problem. Maybe that's my whole problem, you know? Maybe God's resisting me, and I'm binding the devil, and I'm doing all sorts of things, you know, everything. You're doing everything right except for you're prideful, and God's resisting you. But he gives grace to the humble. I pray that you would know this revelation, that God empowers you. If you'll humble yourself, there's grace to go. There's grace to do. There's grace to serve. It's such a hard lesson to learn. It really is. But I pray that you would learn it without having to be forced to learn it. You know? And then that we would learn it the first time. And that we would remind ourselves of the times we've been tested in that. Thank you, Lord, for the times you've tested us and humbled us. Lord, I'm so thankful for that, Lord. Lord, they're even painful still. But Lord, I pray that you would just cause us to learn our lesson the first time. And Lord, remind us of our testing. Remind us, Lord, bring us back into the smells and the thoughts, and Lord, that we would say, God, thank you for where you brought me. Thank you, Lord. So Isaiah 14, 12 through 13 talks about how Lucifer fell. It says, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will be like the Most High. So Satan had five things he said. He said, I will do this. I will do this. Then God said, you will be this. You will be this. You'll be this. You'll be this. You'll be this. And I was reading it. My Bible said there were five things, but it was really more than that. It was like, it wasn't just five. It was like, you're going to be this. 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 Nuh-uh. Bye. And we will look one day and we'll say, well, that was the guy. This guy? This guy? Really? So pride is the most dangerous thing to tolerate in your heart. It says, I will be like the Most High. That's what it says. Pride is basically, it is the heart of the human condition. And it's the heart of human secularism. It's heart of every false religion. It's like, we say, I'm God. Everything I have to say is more important than anything you know or anything you have to say. That's what it is. That's ultimately what pride is. So let's just practice now. You just got to practice. I forget who said it, but, you know, if you're talking to somebody, maybe they have something interesting that they should say. Maybe they have something interesting to say. If you're in conversation, you say, maybe this person has something interesting I could hear. Maybe they've had some interesting experience that I don't know about. That's an interesting thought. It's just like, wow, maybe this person actually has something interesting to say. Man, how is this that we're so prideful? So Adam and Eve, Satan came and appealed to their pride. Genesis 3:5. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, the fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So Satan said, you don't know something that God's deceiving you about, and you need to be like God. And so basically he snaked himself in and gave her this thought that she knew something now. She had an in. She knew something that God wasn't telling her, or even maybe something more than God. And so all of a sudden, that was pride. I hope you guys are taking notes back there. You taking notes? Good. Awesome. Okay. You never know with cell phones anymore. Praise the Lord. So, the pride test is one of those tests that we will continue to have to take throughout our lives. But the good news, with each past test comes a new level of responsibility in God's kingdom. But also, with each new level comes a new level of testing in this area of pride. Thank you, Lord, for help. So the problem is our tongue. Simple guideline. For everyone who wants to pass the pride test, when you get the dream, don't brag about it. That's the simple, that'll help us. That's the simple key. Don't brag about it. You know, think about it. Take it to prayer. Take it in to the Lord in prayer. You know? And, you know, bite your tongue. You know, close your mouth. Just think about it. Let it meditate. Is it the caffeine talking? What is it? You know what I'm saying? Is it a caffeine idea? What is it? Is it a sugar rush? Or what is it? Are you just having a great day and you're just like, you know, hugging and kissing everybody on the street? Like, what is it? You know? So meditate on your idea for a while. Don't do that, by the way. Okay. Okay, so Joseph's brother hated him for his dreams and for his words. That's what it says in Genesis 37:8. So they hated him for his words and his dreams. Don't be that person. Don't be that person. They're like, here it comes again. You know, here he goes again. Here's a thought, and this is, I don't know where I read this or if God gave this to, I don't know. But how cool would it be if you were extremely successful and a man or woman of God, just, man, you've done all sorts of great things, and you come into a party, nobody knows you, and you have the self-control and the security and the spirit that you don't have to tell anybody who you are. You don't have to say, oh, guess who I am? Guess what I do? You don't have to do that. You just come into a room and just talk to people as they are, and you care more about them. I've noticed that if you talk to people about themselves, they will never ask you anything about yourself. They don't care, because it's a pride condition of the human. You can just engage them, and they ask you a question, you ask them a question, and there they go again. You know, so you don't have to, you don't. It's just self-control, and we're going to get into a couple more issues here. So, they hated him for his dreams and for his words. James 3:2 says, if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. That's amazing. If we want to enter into our destinies, we must control our tongues. And here's a quote from Morris. I've noticed that as soon as we start talking about all that God has done through us, it seems that he immediately stops doing things through us. God will not share his glory with another. So there's a difference between that and testimony. And you know what? Testimony. We need testimony. Bonnie's testifying. Jesus. And when we turn it to us, when we turn it back to us, we start to revel in God's glory. We start to enjoy the shine, or whatever you want to call it. Then all of a sudden, that's a problem. That's what happened to Herod. He said, hey, he's like, maybe I am a god. And people said, he's a god. He's not a man. And an angel struck him down. You're dead. So God is jealous. He doesn't want to share his glory with anyone. And he won't. So all we can do is be mirrors and reflect the glory of God. And that's very important that we stay that way. Okay? So we have to control our tongues. Sometimes the only way we can stop bragging is to stop talking. Morris talked about how he had his wife. He's like, I really want to change. Like, tell me. If I'm talking too much. Tell me. And he said, kick me under the table. If I'm talking to it, kick me. And he said, his legs were black and blue. And he said he'd like to say that he changed right away, but quite often he'd just keep talking. Have you know that feeling? Somebody, they correct you and you're just like, you keep going for it. You're like, who are you to tell me what to do? And you know you're wrong. You know you're wrong. But I could just see that. You could kick. You're just like, why are you kicking me? I'm talking about myself. I can totally see that. So the problem is the tongue, but the real problem is your hearts. The problem may appear to be just your mouth, but the root of the pride issue is really your heart. Matthew 12:34 says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 15:18 says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. So, three things about pride. Pride always has to be heard. Pride has to have a voice. Pride can never just be quiet. If pride is in your heart, it will eventually find a way out, even with all the self-discipline in the world. We really need God to do a work in our hearts. That's really the bottom line. So what is the root of pride? The root of pride must be removed, or we will continue to struggle in this area in our lives. And the root is insecurity. That's the real root of pride. If you know a prideful person, you know a person who is actually insecure. How true is that? If you're secure, you don't have to tell anybody anything. You don't have to tell people who you are, what you do. You don't have to tell anybody anything. You're just secure. And how do we do that? Well, let's talk. So, Jesus didn't have to tell anybody who he was. Satan tried to first create insecurity, and Jesus said, if you are the Son of God, that's the first thing he did. If you are the Son of God, that's what he did. But Jesus, he replied with the word. And that's still effective and is still valid today. We got to reply with the word. How does God begin to heal us of insecurities? Through the promises of the word. I'm convinced that Jesus discovered who he was through the word. I think he just read the word. He said, hey, you know what? You know, Jesus was fully God, fully man, but he had to read the word. And he had to claim the promises just like we do. I don't know if you have a prophecy in the Bible, a prophecy that says Matthew lived in Longmont. You know, probably not. You're probably not going to see that. No. But you are going to get precious promises. God's going to give you a promise in your spirit. How many of you have a promise? I hope you have a promise that you can get on and say, thank you, Jesus. And it got to be reflex. You know, Bonnie was saying Psalm 91, Psalm 103, bless the Lord of my soul, all is deep within me. I believe the Lord will give you a personal prophecy too. And I'm talking not from a prophet, but from the word of God. And that's how Jesus, he said, hey, you know, I got one Isaiah 61. I know it. It's just like, bam, out of my mouth. It just comes out of my mouth. And so you got to get it. And those are the kind of promises that it just hits you. It's like slaps you in your face. The Bible's just like, here it is, right here. Look at me. And you're just like, it just jumps off the page into your heart. And you receive it. You're just like, thank you, Jesus. And that's a life verse, one of those life verses that you can stand on for the rest of your life and see it fulfilled. So that's security, is knowing. So how does God begin to heal us of insecurities? Through the promises. We must do the same thing that Jesus did. Discover who we are through the precious promises. That's what the word does. We discover who we are and what we can have. Praise the Lord. So we got to identify with Christ. The ultimate key to victory over pride is knowing who you are in Christ. Jesus knew who he was in his relationship with the Father, so he didn't have to prove anything about himself. In the same way, we must come to a place where our identities are in Christ and in our relationship with him, not in what we do for him. For our identity is in what we do. If our identity is in what we do or the name that we've built for ourselves, we are failing the pride test. Do you think about it? That's why very successful people, man, they're so prideful sometimes, is because they're secure in what they've done. And they're just like, hey, I'm so good because this is what I've done. But if you take everything away, man, you got nothing. So we got to identify in a relationship with Jesus. That's the kingdom, is knowing Jesus, is knowing who God sent. What is that verse, Dad? It says, this is the work of the Father, to know him, to know Jesus. That's what it says. So that's the grace works debate. You know what? You don't need to know anything but Jesus. That's it. That's all. And so that's where we find our security, is in Christ Jesus. So the ultimate key over pride is knowing who you are in Christ. Jesus knew who he was. He knew who he was. So there's two things. We must know who we are, and we must remind ourselves of who we used to be. So number one, we are children of the King. That's who we are. It's easy to be secure because we know our Heavenly Father loves us. God loves us. That's good. We've been adopted into a new kingdom. We've been adopted into a new family. That's who we are. We're a new creation. That's who we are. We got to know who we are. And then secondly, we have to remind ourselves of who we used to be. We are adopted. We're fully children of God, but we're adopted. We were slackers. We were sinners. We weren't born in the palace. We came into the world as beggars. We can also have victory over pride because we know what we used to be. So that's encouraging. Just think, hey, this is where I've come from. You know, it's good to be humble. It's good to have humble beginnings because the Lord can use that. So we have to remind ourselves, we were sinners. We deserve hell. I hate it when people say, you deserve a vacation. I hate that. You don't deserve anything. You deserve hell. That's what you deserve. Bottom line, you deserve hell. You don't deserve anything. So we have to remind ourselves what we deserve. But Jesus said, John 15:5, apart from me, you can do nothing. So apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. So we have to remind ourselves who we were, and we have to know who we are. If God continues to use us to speak to people, that's great. And if he uses someone else to a greater degree, that is wonderful too, because our greatest joy is not in proving what we can do for God, it is receiving all that he has already done for us. So this is the last point I'm going to say, and that is don't pursue the dream, pursue the giver of the dream. And if we get those flipped, then we're always going to be insecure. You know, I hope everyone in here has a dream of what they want to accomplish. I even hope, like, if there's dreams that have died, I hope the Lord will bring them back. But it ultimately doesn't matter if our dreams ever come to pass. That doesn't matter. And that's challenging because you're like, God, I want this to happen. This is so important to me. Like, I want this to happen. Please do this. Well, how did you think Moses felt in the desert? But he focused on a relationship with God. And he saw God. He saw the form of God, and God spoke to him plainly, not in mysteries. So don't pursue the dreamer. Don't pursue the dream. Pursue the giver of the dream. It is easy to stay humble when you've stood a while in the presence of the holy God. Praise the Lord. If you walk into your prayer closet in the morning and meet with God, it is very difficult to come out of that meeting with pride. That's why it's so important for us to be here on Sunday mornings and to worship the Lord. It's so important for us to be in the Bible. Yeah, teenagers, it's so important that we be in the Bible every day. And kids, too. You guys need to be reading the Bible. Lauren, we need to be reading the Bible every day because we stay humble. If you're reading Proverbs, if you're reading what you're supposed to be reading, then you're staying humble. You know? We got assigned reading. 1st, 2nd Timothy and Titus. If we read that, it's an act of humility, really. And we read what the pastors are saying we need to read. And that's coming under the rod. And man, it's so painful sometimes, but you got to do what your leadership is saying, what the men of God are over you, men and women of God. And you got to humble yourself to that direction. And when we read those, when we read the Proverbs, it keeps us humble. And we just constantly in that interaction with God, Lord, change me. Lord, I don't know everything. Change me. So we get our eyeballs on the Word of God regularly. Because there's so much in here. Even if you read the Bible through multiple times, you don't know it. You don't. And you think you do, because I do, you know, sometimes. You're just like, I know the Bible. And you're like, wait, what's that? I forgot that. Oh, I didn't even remember that. So let's read last verses, Numbers 12, 6 through 8. This is about Moses. It says, then he said, hear now my words, if there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him, Moses, in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Actually, that's not Moses. He says, not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings, and he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? It kind of dawned on me last night. Guess who wrote Genesis? Guess who saw creation? God showed Moses creation, and he showed him day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, day seven. He saw it, and however God told him, nobody was there. You know, were you there? God was, and God dwelt in their camp, and Moses spent time with God, and Moses wrote the Bible because God was the witness and saw it. God was the witness. Yeah, he was, obviously. So that is our desire. And I hope that's your desire, is to know God, to not pursue the dream, the destiny, or the success. Pursue a relationship with God. Make that the dream of your life. When you pursue God first, He will not only give you the right dream, He will bring it to pass. So that is so important. So I'd like, ushers, if you prepare to pass communion, we're going to receive communion today, and we're just going to take a moment to just, if there's pride in your heart, if this has convicted you today, maybe you just need to know Jesus. You just say, hey, Jesus, I want to know you. So before we take communion and before we deal with pride, I want to just give you an opportunity to receive Jesus for the first time or second time or third time. You know what? It's going to take. It's going to take, and you're going to have a revelation and say, I believe, and I receive it. So I want everybody to just pray after me. Father God, I thank you for forgiving me of my sin. I thank you. I see where I came from. And Lord, I need you. Adopt me as your son or daughter. I make Jesus Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. Alan, if I could. Thank you, sir. Lord, we just come before you right now, and we thank you for dealing with this pride. Lord, I just pray for my brothers and sisters and myself, Lord, that you would root this thing out of our hearts. Lord, I pray that we'd pass this pride test. The big one. Lord, I know we're going to have to deal with the rest of our lives, but Lord, I pray that we'd pass that test so we can move on to the next one. And Lord, we don't want to go around the mountain another time. So Lord, I pray that you'd remove pride from our hearts, Lord, that we'd stay humble before you. And Lord, we're so encouraged and thank you that you're going to complete your work in us. And so we receive it. You receive your sacrifice in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, did you receive something today? Amen. And as Dad said, hopefully not joking. Well, hopefully joking, but I'm sure it was serious. Is that don't not come because you know what's going to be taught. Because we don't like to change sometimes. So I encourage you guys, let's just humble ourselves to the word. Regardless of who's preaching. Mom's going to be preaching in October while I'm gone. I'm excited. That's going to be real good. So this is going to go through November because this is a 10-week series. So praise the Lord. You know, if God's challenging us, it's because he wants us to change. He has places for us to go. He has things for us to do. He's got big things for this church. Praise the Lord. So be encouraged. So let's stand. All right. Praise the Lord. You know, I was going to read Jude, but I should read the one from last night. The traditional blessing. It says, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Praise the Lord. Go in favor and be safe. Praise the Lord.